Well, good morning. Welcome to the broadcast today. My name is Bill Young, and you're listening to Faith is a Lifestyle. This week, we're continuing our study called Healing and Health, Living Long and Living Strong. So far, we've studied the redemptive work of Christ and looked at four Hebrew words in great detail. Isaiah chapter 53, the great redemptive chapter of the Bible, lets us know that Jesus was not just our sin-bearer on the cross, but he also bore our sickness and carried our pains. We looked at the unscriptural and erroneous concept of God being glorified in sickness. If sickness and disease brought glory to God, then the scriptures would tell us such. But we saw that they in fact do not. In fact, we see just the opposite, that God gets glory, the Greek word doxa, which means praise, honor, and worship when the sick are healed. We also looked at Paul's thorn and what really happened to Job. God, in fact, was not Job's problem, but rather his answer to his problem and his deliverance. Now, let's look again at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and we'll begin with verse 16. And it says, "When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." The redemptive work of Christ is the basis for healing and health. Matthew understood this, and his words are indeed an inspired translation of Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. Peter also understood this as he wrote his epistle and declared in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Peter, looking back at the cross, declared that by the stripes that Jesus bore, we were, past tense, healed. The redemptive work of Christ is the basis for healing of the physical body. All throughout the scripture, we see evidence in abundance that healing of the physical body is part of God's redemptive plan. Now, today we're going to continue our look at what the scriptures have to say about how our own actions can impact our health. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Paul's admonition to the church at Corinth to flee fornication. Now, let's look at that passage again. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll begin with verse 18. Notice what it says. "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now here Paul, by the Holy Spirit, says to flee, and the Greek word is porneia. The word porneia means to participate in harlotry. It literally refers to sex outside of marriage. A person who engages in sex outside the marriage covenant is sinning against his own body. In other words, you're doing damage to your own flesh. You are opening a huge door for sickness and disease to gain entry into your life. Our bodies belong to God, and we're to glorify Him not only spiritually, but physically. Now, this letter was written to a church that was full of men who used to worship Aphrodite, the love goddess. In the temple of Aphrodite, there were 1,000 priestesses who engaged in sex with men as part of temple worship. Now, these men are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, and Paul is telling them and us that we are to glorify God in our bodies and avoid, literally flee from, sex outside the marriage covenant. Aphrodite, or Venus as the Greeks called her, was a myth. She never existed. But Satan used this cult to make slaves of men. In reality, they worshiped demonic entities in the temple of Aphrodite through these sexual acts with the temple priestesses. Now, let's notice a passage in the book of Acts that'll give us more insight as to how important this issue of sexual immorality is to the Christian. Notice Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, and we'll begin with verse 24. Notice what it says. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall tell you the same things by mouth. Now notice this, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well, fare ye well. In this passage, the early church held a council in Jerusalem to address the Gentile churches in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. There were some Jewish brethren who were teaching the Gentile churches that in order to, for them to be saved, they had to be circumcised, they had to keep the law of Moses, and this was causing division and distress among these Gentile churches and among the church leaders in Jerusalem. They said in verse 28 that it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Evidently, there was a confirmation by the Holy Spirit concerning this issue, that they did not have to keep the law of Moses, but four things were necessary. One of the four was to abstain from fornication. As I said earlier, sex outside of marriage is outside of God's plan. We're all well aware of the scriptural admonitions throughout the Old and New Testament to avoid sexual immorality. Although we may live in a modern culture with all of our advantages over our forefathers, we still face the same issues that men have dealt with for thousands of years. You might think that the things that we read about in the newspaper and see on the news are new, but they're not. These same things were issues of the day back then. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, Paul the Apostle writes the Galatian believers about the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. Now, here's something I want you to understand. Flesh is still flesh, and the nature of the flesh is still the same as it was 2,000 years ago. Notice Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, verse 19. It says, Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Notice that fornication, or porneia, is described as a work of the flesh. That is to say, a man or woman who is controlled by their flesh will pursue sex outside the marriage covenant. That is not the way God intends for the Christian to live. Now, here's a key that will be a big help to you, and it's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, this is something you've got to get. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Notice what it says. For it is the will of God, I'm beginning with verse 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. It says, For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know, now here's a key, how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now I know there are a lot of big words in these passages, but we'll break it down for you. Here's something you have to know. These early Christians were no different than us as far as the flesh is concerned. They had the same desires as we do. They had to learn how to walk in the character of Christ. In verse 4, Paul says something that's powerful, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. The word possess here is the Greek word kataomai. And this word means to acquire or get something, but literally it means to own something. Paul is exhorting these Christians and us to own our flesh. It is a necessity that we control our bodies and not vice versa. See, my flesh doesn't control me. Quite the contrary. I tell my body what to do and what not to do. I own my flesh. If you want to know the truth, it is my servant or my slave. Now, when your body owns you and runs the show in your life, you're in deep trouble. As Christians, we're to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Now, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Does it mean you walk 6 inches off the ground with a halo over your head? Not at all. It simply means that you walk and live in such a way that you are controlled by your Spirit. That's where the Holy Spirit lives, rather than let your body control you. Now, notice this verse in Galatians 5:16. Paul, writing to the church, said this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, it's important that we be Spirit-led Christians rather than fleshly or carnal with regard to our bodies. Now, I've known many men who've gotten involved in sexual immorality, and it costs them dearly. It costs them in relationships. It costs them in God's purpose for their lives because it was thwarted. It costs them financially. It costs them their reputation in the community, and it costs them their health. Now, I remember as a Bible school student many years ago, I took a third shift job in a convenience store chain to support my family. I had a wife and a young son. My classes were early in the morning and in the afternoon, so working nights was perfect for me. I would start my day at 10 p.m. and head off to work at 11 and work till 7 in the morning. And then I'd come home, eat breakfast, change, and head off to school. And I worked similar shifts in stores on the north side of Tulsa for over 2 years. Now, in Oklahoma at the time, all of the nightclubs and bars would close at 2 a.m. And invariably, we'd get a big rush of people around 2:30, and they all had the munchies. Many of you guys know what I'm talking about. A lot of these people were high or drunk, and so we saw a little bit of everything, and I do mean everything. Now, I recall in particular one morning, a young college student home on spring break came in with her girlfriends, and I happened to wait on her. She proceeded to ask me the following questions. "Are you married?" I said, "Yes." Then she asked, "Are you happy?" I said, "Very." She proceeded to tell me how fine I looked, and she just told me plainly she wanted to have sex with me. I told her I was not interested. So she proceeded to write her phone number down on a piece of paper and hand it to me, which I promptly threw in the trash without even looking at it. She said to me, "I think you're fine, and we can have a one-night stand, and nobody will know." Now, this woman was no bag lady. I mean, she was not ugly. Quite the contrary, this woman was quite attractive. I'd be less than honest if I said she was not appealing to my flesh. And any man at that age, and at that time I was in my early 20s, any man at that age likes to hear that he's fine and desirable. But you have to remember, I thought about God and His Word, and I knew that this woman was bad news. She really didn't care about me. She was only out to satisfy her flesh and didn't consider the ramifications of her actions. I had enough sense to say no. I said no firmly and without hesitation. My flesh may have had other ideas, but I own my flesh. It does not own me. Now, that's how many people get into trouble in life when they let their flesh run the show. If you don't control your flesh, your body will make you a slave to all kinds of destructive habits. Many women and men, many men and women happen to be addicted to sex. Others are addicted to alcohol or drugs. Some are addicted to nicotine. All of these are nothing more than the result of the flesh being out of control and running the show. Now, if you want to walk in healing and health, you have to own your flesh and not let your flesh tell you what to do. Think of it like this. As a Christian, you're not a natural person having a spiritual experience, but rather, you are a spiritual person having a natural experience. Allow the Holy Spirit within you to lead, guide, and show you how to live. Hide God's Word in your heart and take control of your flesh. Your body is your slave, and you need to refuse to allow your body to run the show. Own your body and refuse to be a slave to anything. Now, several years ago, I attended a viewing for a young man who had passed away. And this young man was a distant relative of mine who, you know, I'd see him on occasion through the years, but we really weren't close. I recall talking with his mother, who made a comment that struck a chord in me. She said, "You know, all of the so-and-sos," now that was her family name, "all of the so-and-sos die early." Well, I started thinking about all the so-and-sos, the family name, that I knew, and I made a brilliant observation. All of the members of that family that I knew lived a hard, fast life. Now, what do I mean when I say that? They lived in excess as far as being slaves to their flesh. They liked to drink hard to the point of drunkenness. Some of them used illegal drugs. Almost all of them were heavy smokers. That kind of lifestyle is not conducive to healing and health. Remember now, we're still talking about how our own actions can impact our health. Now, I realize how hard it is for some people to break out of addictive habits. Both of my parents were heavy smokers. In 1968, my mother got double pneumonia and was advised by her doctor at the time, we lived in Florida, to quit smoking. She quit that day. Hasn't touched another cigarette since. Mom's about to celebrate her 77th birthday later this month. Now, my father, on the other hand, had a difficult time breaking that nicotine addiction and died from complications from lung cancer several years ago. I am convinced that had my father never developed a smoking habit, he'd still be here today. Now, notice these words from Paul, the apostle, to the church at Corinth. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Paul says this, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I'll not be brought under the power of any." Now, in this letter to the Corinthian church, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, lets these people and us know that we should not be slaves to the desires of the flesh. There may be many things that are lawful for you, but you need to ask yourself a question. First of all, is this going to be beneficial to my life? Is it going to enhance my relationship with God? Does it have the potential to control me and bring me into bondage? Paul said, "I'll not be brought under the power of any." Now, he uses the word in the Greek, exousiazo, which means to exercise authority upon or to bring under the power of something. There are many things in life that may not be sinful, but if they have the potential to exert power over me or control me, then I avoid them. I have some dear Christian friends who sincerely believe. Now, you got to listen to this carefully. I don't want anybody to misinterpret what I'm saying this morning. I have some good Christian friends who sincerely believe that if you smoke cigarettes, you're not saved and you're headed for hell. Now, I don't find anything in the Scripture that even mentions cigarettes. I personally don't hold that same view. But I do believe that if you're addicted to tobacco, you're being controlled by your flesh. I would be personally offended and outraged at anyone who desired to make me a slave like my ancestors were in the 18th and 19th centuries. My great-great-grandmother was a slave in Mississippi. Now, what makes you think that I'm going to allow my body to become a slave to some little white piece of paper with tobacco in it? Not a chance. I like what I heard a minister say years ago. And this is what he said. He said, a man came up to me and asked, he said, "Hey, brother so-and-so, will you go to hell if you smoke cigarettes?" He said, no, you'll just smell like you've been there. Now, all joking aside, cigarette smoking is one of the leading causes of disease in America. Diseases such as emphysema, strokes, and heart disease all have a very high incidence among smokers. I mean, think about it. Each package has a little disclaimer on the side that lets you know, in effect, these things will kill you. Don't allow your body to become a slave to anything. Now, over the course of this series, we've looked at healing and health from the scriptures for almost, a little over 10 weeks now. And I'm telling you, we've just scratched the surface, so to speak. We have a great resource in the Word of God for healing and health. It reveals to us what Jesus has done for us in His redemptive work, and that healing is a part of God's covenant provision for His children. We must also realize that there's a practical side to healing and health. We have a responsibility to take care of our bodies. We can certainly have faith for healing because of what Jesus has done, but we must also be good stewards over our lives. We must avoid what the Bible tells us to avoid and pursue what the Bible tells us to pursue. You can't be a slave to alcohol, drugs, or cigarettes and expect to live a long life that's free from sickness and disease. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, it's my body, I'll do what I want. Is that right? Well, let's look at this passage, that is, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Notice what it says. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now here Paul tells the Corinthian believers and us that we must be aware of this fact on a daily basis. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We don't belong to ourselves any longer. Now the phrase your own here is the Greek word heoutou. Sounds funny. Heoutou. And it means as far as our bodies are concerned, we are not alone. If you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit also lives inside your spirit. We have been redeemed with a price. Here the Greek word is timē, which means something precious or valuable. Jesus poured out His life for us on the cross. That blood that He shed and those stripes that He bore for you were and are precious in God's sight. That price that was paid to redeem us from sin and disease was and is precious indeed, and it enabled us to receive the new birth, to be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Now the Holy Spirit Himself makes His home in us. Now we have an obligation to glorify God in our bodies. In fact, this verse says nothing about and your spirit, which we see in the King James Version. That phrase is not in the original text. It was added by the translators to help clarify the meaning. Now, let us concentrate on glorifying God in our bodies for just a moment. The word glorify is the word doxazo, which means to make glorious, to be full of glory, or to magnify. We are instructed specifically to make our bodies glorious or to magnify God in our physical bodies. Now, you don't necessarily do that by wearing the finest clothes or adorning yourself with the best suits. There's nothing wrong with dressing well. But I tell you, I'm personally weary of ministers and Christians who try to outdress each other to impress each other. Who cares how long your robe is or how big that cross is around your neck? You can wear your collar forward or backward, and God's not impressed with your threads. I've known men who were in the ministry and wore all the right clothes, backward collars, gold chains, fancy cufflinks, and were having sex with prostitutes. The clothes are not the issue, but rather what you do with your body. Now, I'm not advocating that we let our own personal appearance go down the drain, so to speak, but this verse is not talking about what we adorn our bodies with, but rather what we do with our bodies. The word body in 1 Corinthians 6:20 is soma, which means body, bodily, or literally to be a slave. Your body is your slave, created to help you fulfill God's purpose for your life in the earth. We are to glorify or make glorious our bodies because Jesus paid the ultimate price to make us free, and we're not alone anymore. We share this body with the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, people often talk about church buildings as though there was something sacred about them. And I've heard people say things like, oh, don't act that way in the house of God, or don't do that in the house of God. Although their intentions are good, they're not scripturally correct. Notice this passage in Acts chapter 17, Acts 17:24. It says, God made the whole world and all things therein. Seeing then that he is Lord of heaven and earth, he dwells not in temples made with hands. Now, I know that's a real eye-opener for some of you, but we must understand that God's presence is not necessarily found in a church building. His presence is manifested at times when we come together in a church building, but not because of the building, but because the believers who are gathered in the building. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit in our bodies. Now listen, you wouldn't go to church and cuss up a storm, so why would you do it in the real temple of the Holy Spirit, which is your body? You know, we don't think very highly of folk who let the place where they worship get all run down and it's not very well maintained. In most cities and towns, the most beautiful property in town is the church, and it should be that way. How much more should we take care of our physical bodies, which are the real temples of the Holy Spirit? We need to be good stewards over this body that Jesus redeemed with a very dear and precious price. We need to respect the Holy Spirit, not just when we go to a church service, but every day of our lives. Well, hey, we're out of time. Join us next week for another edition of Healing and Health. Be blessed.